Can everyone virtually hear us? Just give me a thumbs up. Okay, great. Thank you. Hello, everyone. This is our November Sussex Academy board meeting. I'm going to call to order. First thing we're going to do is roll call. So I am going to start. We'll go around the table. We will hear from the board members who are virtually, and then we'll go around the back row and introduce ourselves. I'm Jen Donahue, board president.
Ed Hale, vice president. Patrick Hill, immediate past president.
Mr. Brown, member.
Brittany Verslam, treasurer.
Jose Gianni, board member.
Lance Manlow, board member.
Amy Goodhue, board member.
Chris Moody, board member emeritus.
Andrea Rogers, board secretary.
Brandy Sopat, director of human resources.
Sarah Messina, board member.
Erin Virginiak, board member.
Joe Shell, emeritus board member.
And virtually, Justina.
Justina Thomas, board member.
Jill.
Jill Green, board member.
And
Eric Anderson, head of school.
Okay, and then our other on virtually, if we can start with Michelle.
Michelle Hasty, business manager.
And Meg. Stacy
Lawson, sports boosters.
And do we have Meg? Okay, let's move to Rebecca, please.
Hi, Becky Gabor, parent.
Tom? Mr. Sawyer? Tim.
Tim Sawyer, Barbara Kane Thornton and Company, your auditor.
Thank you, Tim.
No problem.
And the others who we have in the room, could we start over there with you, Jeff, and then we'll go that way.
Jeff Shea, Director of Technology, Building the Ground.
Janet Allen, Assistant to Head of School.
Brian Truitt, Director of Development.
Lydia Schmier, Water Director.
Patty Hedricks, Director of Elementary.
The Director of Special Education and Transportation.
Stephanie Sherman, High School Team Leader.
Andy Davis, Finance Manager.
Patricia Oliphant, Citizen.
Harry Hudson, Parent.
Wayman, Parent, and School District.
Darren McBurray, Director of Student Services.
Jennifer Leonard, Staff Member.
PD Teacher.
Jessica Long, 6th Grade Team Leader.
John Collette, Parent.
Okay, welcome everyone. The first order of business will be the approval of the minutes from our meeting in October. I would entertain let me ask first, do we have any suggested changes or modifications or comments on the draft minutes from October 18th, 2023? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
So moved by Chris Brown. Second? Second by Ed Hale. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any objection? Any abstentions? Okay, motion carries. Thank you. We are going to suggest modifying the agenda in light of Mr. Sawyer being here, as well as some changes that we need to make. So I am going to request a motion to modify the agenda to move the financial report directly after our public comment, if we have any. And that would be followed by an executive session. We will return from executive session, but we wanted to move that up to the more top of the agenda. So if I could have a motion for that.
Moved.
Moved by Patches. Second?
Chris.
Yes. Chris?
Second.
Oh, was it Chris who was first or second?
Sorry.
Well, should we have to get the minutes right?
Moved.
Second. Chris.
Thank you.
Brittany, second. Okay. All in favor?
All
right. Don't mess with me. Any objection? Any abstentions? Motion passes. passes. Thank you. All right, so the next one is public comment. I'm going to make the statement regarding public comment. Give me one moment. Okay. The Executive Board of Sussex Academy appreciates your input. Members of the board will not respond to public comments made during the board meeting. The board will not hear complaints against any personnel or any students in a public board meeting. Any complaint about Sussex Academy, including instruction, discipline, personnel, procedure, policy, or curriculum, should be referred through the proper procedure set forth in the board policy manual section 1102 before it may be presented to the board. Thereafter, if such a complaint is sought to be brought before the board, then it must be made in writing and submitted on the required form contained in the public manual section 1102. Do we have anyone here that would like to make public comment? Ms. Sherman, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. We usually limit to 3 minutes, but you've got the floor.
Sounds good. I won't be 3 minutes.
Okay.
I'm here today as the high school team leader, also as the representative for the middle school as well, and asking that you consider our request as a staff that we know that you're going to discuss interim school leadership and that you will soon be looking for a new head of school. It is the hope of the faculty and the staff that you will actively include us in the search process. As individuals who are greatly impacted on a daily basis by the decisions and vision of our school leaders, we would respectfully request a seat at the table. We know the strengths and weaknesses of our school and collectively have vast and varied experiences in teaching and working under administrators, both favorable and unfavorable. We hope that this knowledge and experience would be valued by all of you on the school board as you seek to find a leader who will help Sussex Academy realize its full potential.
Thank you, Ms. Sherman. Do we have anyone else that would like to present public comment? Anyone virtually that would like to make a comment? Okay, hearing none. Thank you. We will move on to the financial portion. And Brittany and Michelle and Mr. Sawyer, Brittany, I'm going to pass the torch to you here for the financial portion.
I believe we're going to present the audit first. Right, Michelle?
Yes.
So, Mr. Sawyer, you have the floor.
Okay. I know I had sent Andy a presentation. I don't know if you have that, or if not, I can share my screen and you'd be able to see that.
Can you share the screen?
Here, let me change that. Tim, you should be able to share your screen now.
Sorry, wrong screen. Everybody see the Barbicane logo and Sussex Academy logo?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so I'll give you a quick overview on the audit and the results. And then if you do have any questions, I'd be happy to address anything that the board may have. So with the audit, we started our audit work in August and field work was wrapped up on September 8th. And what happens from the time we start till we finish is we're waiting on information from the state on for five things. It's the pension valuation report, the other post-employment benefits or OPEB valuation report, the pension contributions, the OPEB contributions, and then they do a cash reconciliation, which they provide to us just so we know that the state has enough cash to cover all their appropriations to the different state agencies, of course, which Sussex Academy is one. Based on our audit work, I can tell you that we issued unmodified or clean audit opinions. So your financial statements, you know, represent fairly your financial position. And our opinions cover the various different opinion units that you have. So that's the governmental activities, which is your statement of net position, your statement of activities. That's based on a full accrual accounting and includes those pension and OPEB liabilities that I mentioned. Your major fund, which is your general fund. So that's on the modified cash basis. So that includes some payables and receivables, but it's more in tune to what you see on a monthly basis in your financial reports. There were no correcting entries as part of our audits. So everything that was done by your consultant that does kind of start the preparation of the financial statements for us, and as well as anything that we happen to come across, being those adjustments for the pension and OPEB were included in your financial statements. We look at your internal controls around processing your transactions for cash receipts, cash disbursements, and payroll, make sure that they're designed and operating effectively. This year, we did a sample of 40 payroll transactions, and we noted no issues on those. And then we do test the cash receipts and cash disbursements on a less basis. We don't do a formal control test on those, but we do look at individual transactions in other areas as we're going. And we rotate through the controls. So last year we did expenditures. So as long as nothing's really changed, we can rely on those tests from last year. With the pension and OPEB liabilities, we do put in there that we help with the finalizing the preparation of the financial statements and your notes. And your financial statements were submitted to the state of Delaware on October 2nd. So you met the deadline this year. Of course, October 1st, which is the deadline, was on the weekend. So going over some financial highlights comparing 2023 to 2022, these numbers come from your statement of net position. So you can see your cash and pooled cash went down a little bit from $2.3 million to $2.1 million. Your capital assets, net of depreciation, went from 19.9 down to 19.1. And as long as you really don't add anything major, that number will continually go down as the depreciation, which is the allocation of the cost over the useful life of the assets, continues. Your accrued salaries, which is basically the teacher's pay over the summer, went from 1.7 to 1.6 million. That really just has to do with timing of the pay periods over the summer. And then there was a new GASB's Governmental Accounting Standards Board statement that went into effect last year where we had to pick up the lease as a asset and liability. So that's also reflected in the capital assets number as well as a lease payable number. And that went down from 20.5 million to 19.2 million. Your fund balance, which this is more on what you see on your normal financial reports. So we've got like a 4-year spread here. So you went from 355 up to 422 this year. And in prior years, you can see you were at 1.2 in 2021 and 1.4 in 2020. The big numbers on your statement of net position, we point these out because this is what really shows you at a net deficit on your statement of net position or the pension and OPEB liabilities. So the pension actually was an asset of about $3.4 million last year, and it went back to a liability this year of $4.1 million. And then the OPEB liability was at $22.2 million, and it's now at $27.6 million. The pension liability, we have a little more information here. It's been in the 80% range of being funded over the last basically 4 years, except for last year where the markets were favorable when they did the valuation, and it was 110%. So that's why you had the net pension asset versus the net pension liability. The school's portion's been increasing some, so you were up to about 0.30% last year. And then you can see that based on the valuations, this liability can kind of jump all around based on the different factors that they use. So it in 2020, it went up 31% and went down about 2% in 2021, went down 212% last year when it flipped to the net pension asset. And this year it went back up 220,000 as it went back to the liability and back into the 88% range of being funded. Like I say, we point these out because this shows you had a net deficit overall on the statement of net position. But this, since it's the state plan, the state will be the one that's going to end up paying those pension liabilities when they come due. You just make your normal contributions through the payroll. The OPEB liability, this liability is bigger because you can see the percent funded is less. It's been between 4% and 6%. Over the last 4 years, it's what they call pay-as-they-go plan. So as the benefits become due, the state funds those and then pays them. You're also at about 0.29% of the portion of the total plan is yours. And you can see this one here, it was increased 5%, increased 43%, increased 24%, and then it went down 10% this year. We do take a look at the financial framework as well, just to kind of give you a heads up if you need any assistance when you're looking at these. Now, these are fairly similar to where we were last year. So the current ratio, you're kind of on the margin right there. It's at 0.9. So you're in the approaching category. Your unrestricted days cash, you're at 45. So you're a little bit below that one, too. And the one-year trend was negative, meaning the 45 days was less than last year's. Your enrollment variance is good. We had it calculated at 96%. You're not in default of your debt, so you're good there. The total margin, we have you calculated at minus 0.63 for the current year, and you're at minus 1.78 for the three-year average. Your debt to asset ratio, you're at 1.028. So you're slightly, you need to be at 0.90 or less. You're close to that, but you're just slightly. I think the big reason there was that when we had to increase the assets and the lease liability last year, that extra lease liability that is in there because of the GASB accounting standard has flipped that to where you're just missing it. The cash flow, current year cash was a decreased balance from the year before. So that throws you also into a standard where you're not meeting that. And then your debt service ratio at 1.29%, you meet that one as well. The cash flow one too, just to point that out, that's if you have $1 less cash than you had the year before, you end up in a decreased situation and you don't do that. So, I mean, it's of the financial matrices, I think this one's the worst one that's in there, because obviously if you're spending any money and you finish with less cash, I mean, you're spending it on the students and their education. So it's one that we don't think takes a whole lot of weight when they look at these. And then finally, just some required communications, which is one of the reasons why I'm here tonight. We sent out an engagement letter and a planning memo in July when we get ready to start the audit, just to go over that we are going to do the audit and as far as what information we need. Mentioned we issued the unmodified or clean opinions. We looked at, there was a new accounting standard, GASB statement number 96, which had to do with subscription-based information technology agreements. And we didn't feel like the ones, when we reviewed those agreements this year, there were none that required an accounting change. So you're good there. Last year it was statement 87, which was the leases. mentioned before, no uncorrected misstatements for the year. Any audit adjustments being those calculations for the pension and OPEB liabilities were included. Our testing determined that there were no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in your internal controls. And then finally, the second one here on this page with fraud and legal acts. And I'm happy to tell you that based on our auditing procedures, we did not become aware of any fraud or illegal acts in the items that we tested. So with that, I will open it up to the board for any questions on the presentations or if you have any questions on the financial statements.
So just a statement, just to sum it up, no material weaknesses, no deficiencies.
Correct.
Clean bill of health.
Yes.
Joe?
Tim, if you were on our board, what metric that you just told us about would you be most concerned with? Sounds like everything in the last 2 years have gone downhill a little bit. What's the most concerning to you?
I guess the only one that I look at that I kind of worry a little bit about would be your day's cash. Just because that kind of floats how many days that you can go if you were to not get any cash receipts in. That went from last year you were at 56. This year we have you at 45.
That's at the end of the fiscal year, right?
Correct.
Today it's better than that, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's hard to say because we get an influx of cash flow at the beginning of the year. So it's really best to view it year over year on the same exact date. So yes, it's much. Yeah, it's 11.
So what's the total? What will be the delta?
Well, our cash went down 200,000.
Any other questions for Mr. Sawyer? Thank you very much. We have no further questions.
Okay. All right. If anybody does come up with a question, please let, Eric or Andy or Michelle now, and they can get a hold of me and we'll get you an answer.
Thanks so much.
Well, thank you.
One thing that I would suggest is just wrap that in the board in terms of, I think you do that as thing.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Chris?
Wrap the report to the board so you can read it kind of afterwards. You're asking the report, it's kind of easier to kind of digest it. There's other questions ask.
Thank you. Okay. Michelle, is it Michelle's?
Yeah, so we have the audit approval as a voting item on the agenda, but no one has seen the audit. So I will email the audit and the report after today's meeting, and we can vote on it in January, which is what we've done every year.
First and second, got it. All in favor? Any opposition? Any abstentions? Great, motion to table that to January. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is Michelle up?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, Tim, are you still here?
I am.
You have to stop sharing the screen.
Okay, thank you for reminding me.
Thank you,
Tim. You're welcome.
Okay, it's all yours.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, all right. Everybody have a good night.
Thanks, Tim. All righty. This is the financial report for October 31st, 2023. The budget has not changed through October. We have finished one third of the year, which is 33.33%. In the month of October, we received $19,692 in the rest of our 35% payment for local tuition, $13,429 in cafeteria dollars, $11,737 in miscellaneous revenue. The pool contributed $13,961, and we did receive $844 in interest. So overall, as you can see, we are at 72.7%. I am projecting based on the September 30th count and the way the existing payroll looks right now, and just the rate of our deposits from a historical standpoint, that we will exceed our budget by $750,000. And that includes me not counting the $144,000 that we were going to take from long-term reserves for our facilities. So taking that out, we should be three-quarters of $1 million to the good.
In revenue.
In revenue, yes. This is not net, but yes. Any questions?
Yeah, I have a question. The narrative says 526,000.
That's bottom.
That's this number down here. That's the net. Because we have some expense overruns that we'll get to.
Thank you.
All right. All right. So for state and local expenses, as you can see, overall, we are at 39.4% of our expense budget. That includes encumbrances of $1,119,747. And you can see that the encumbrances are primarily for the rent, utilities, and for student transportation, which is our bus contract. I am forecasting based on current payroll that we're going to underrun payroll about $73,000. And again, like I cautioned last month, this is only one third of the year has gone through. And we still have a lot of coaches' stipends. And I don't know if teachers are going to call out sick a lot. And because we do have to pay for substitutes, I did put that in the budget, but it was based on what we had last year. So we just have to pay attention to this line. In regards to facilities, even though I took...
Michelle, I'm sorry. You said currently underrunning payroll by 73,051.
Right.
What do you mean by underrunning? If you could just explain that.
Underrunning, like based on what our biweekly payroll is, I forecast out what I think the remaining payroll is going to be by the end of June. Okay, this does not include the accruals that Tim spoke about in the audit. This is cash basis only. So our payroll was budgeted at $10,683,000. And I'm thinking we're going to come in about $10,610,000. Just so that you understand, the $10,683,000 is payroll from July 1st, which includes the remainder of last year's 10-month contracts. That's the accrual that Tim spoke about. So there's five paychecks here for our teachers that was based on last year's contract rates. And then the other 21 paychecks are based on this year's contract rates. And that's how I do the forecast. Does that make sense?
So, I mean, big picture, 750, 400 is where you're going to be. We're going to be positive to the budget. And 223, 617 is where you're going to be over budget. So your net's going to be 526.
526, yes. Because I didn't take out the 144 right. For the facilities. I'm still thinking that we're going to use that expense budget. I could be wrong, but that's my assumption here. Because I know that there are things that need to be done on the property.
I'm confused. What about the 166,470? That's the long-term reserve amount.
That's still in here. I'm saying that we're still going to contribute $166,000 to the reserve.
That's what I wanted to know. We are building. Yeah.
I'm basically not taking money out, which was in the original budget. We were going to take money out and then put money in, which was going to net about $22,000. Since our revenues were healthy, we're not taking any money out and we're still putting money in. Make sense?
Yes, sir.
She's pretty resilient.
Can I ask you one sort of simple question?
Mm-hmm.
We have a fiscal 24 preliminary budget, and we have a fiscal 24 end of year outlook. What's the difference between those two?
The fiscal year 24 end of year outlook is based on our current expenses, what we've spent, and what I think we may spend for the remaining 8 months.
It basically takes into account.
It's just an outlook. Things change.
Since we voted on the 24 budget.
One's a budget, one's an outlook.
Yeah.
So and budget is something that now is being up and down.
I really think we should.
Why the outlook is different.
Yeah.
And you can explain exactly. Whatever happens between
when we voted.
End of July or end of June, them out.
Yeah. So I think the focus should be on the outlook because it's more updated and more accurate than the budget.
Yes. From a expense point of view, it's good, it's better.
Yeah. I mean, basically, once we get our final numbers for the state appropriations, which will be next month, we can do a revised budget. That's what we normally do because we really understand what our revenue dollars are going to be. The only thing that would probably come in different is the pool and the cafeteria. But we know that what we're getting for local tuition as well as from the state. And that's the bulk of our dollars. And so the only other overrun that I want to talk about is in instructional services. We have more students this year that qualify for speech. And our expenses for our speech therapists are coming in a lot higher than we anticipated. And right now, I'm looking at for instructional services maybe being about $71,000 over our budget. And again, it's a function of we have a number of students more than what we thought we were going to have for speech. And we do not get any additional money for that unless they have a brand new IEP. But speech-only students, you do not have IEPs. And correct me if I'm wrong, if there's someone there from Spec Ed, but I think I'm right.
So we had, of the 16 new students, 10 out of those 16 came in with speech services. I believe only two or three of those were speech only. So we did get at least some funding for those. But if we qualify any students for speech only IEPs, they are not as federal funding.
Right. And the cost for a speech therapist is $100 per hour. That's our contractual cost.
Did you have anything further, Michelle?
No, those are the main things. So again, like everybody noticed that we're at $526,000, hopefully net cash flow positive. And if that didn't change, we would have 65.9 days cash.
Much better than the 45 days in the audit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a clarifying question? On the finance making the matter, we talked last board meeting about how much you wanted to put up in reserves. I think that's where Joe's question said, how much you wanted to set up with reserves. Is there a number that you have in your head that would be a prudent number for like a 3 or 4 year reserves build up?
Did you do a presentation last
yeah.
month?
Just remind me. Yeah, I think it's in the minutes, but I think the number was like today, the prescriptive number was like 2.1 million or something. And then I was trying to put a 5-year plan together to get it to 2.8 million by 2028. And that would be the number that the plan says that we need to have in to be good. And so, and there was a, I put in there the the payment that was prescriptive by the plan, which is the 166, that's in this budget. But then there's also, yeah, and then there's also a makeup. There's a makeup payment in there, and I can't remember what it was, but if you look at like line three, there's like makeup payment. It was like 400, 300 and some thousand per year that we needed to make up each year to get to that point by the end of 5 years.
Right, so I'm saying of the 526 that we're budgeting, we should not be thinking about spending that. We should be thinking about putting that in reserves to catch up to them.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that everything's not.
What was that makeup payment for this year?
526,334.
Oh. What? Yeah. About 526,000. Approximately. It was 3 cents. It's 350. Is that what it was? Yeah, 350 was the makeup payment that was for this year. So if our net at the end of the year is more than that, that's great. Mm-hmm. Then they always give that number up.
And we did the
right.
Brittany, if we put that money into the LTR reserve fund, it still qualify us for the 65-day special plan.
Yeah, so I was going to wait to explain this in further detail at a board meeting that we have more time. But so that unencumbered cash balance, the bottom line, it's, you know, right now it's 6.7 million, but it all is going to be spent. It all is flagged for things. Correct. So when you get the audit, you will see there's a page that details our cash balance. And there is a line that says unassigned. So that really what that means is the money left over at the end of the year that is not accrued for salaries, is not accounts payable, doesn't have a purpose. So in 2022, that unassigned cash balance was $355,000. At the end of 2023, it was $422,000. That is our reserves. It's not in an account right now classified as reserves, but it can be considered our reserves and added to the 166. So, I mean, that already takes care of that makeup payment for this year. But to answer your question, yes, it is included in the cash balance and counts towards our day's cash. But that is the reason we don't want to withdraw $144,000 from the long-term reserves to pay for our maintenance costs, because that then reduces our cash balance and reduces our day's cash. So what we should endeavor to do is, you know, there's this prescribed expense in the long-term reserves every year. We should endeavor to build that into our budget and not actually take it out of the long-term reserves. Continue deposit into the long-term reserves and build the prescribed expense into being able to pay for it with state and local funds.
Thank you, Brittany. That made things a lot clearer.
And that number is calculated once a year at June 30th. And when all that stuff is done, then we can use that number to then compare against past years.
Right. So Michelle and I have talked about, you know, assigning a true account code to this unassigned fund balance and starting with this 422,342, because we know that was on our unassigned cash at the end of 2023. And then we'll add the 166 to it, and we'll be able to track it more clear. It won't be all jumbled up in that cash balance, but it will still count towards the cash balance in the day's cash.
Any other questions for Michelle or Brittany? Can I get a motion to approve the budget?
So moved.
Second? Amy? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstain? Motion carries. The next thing is we've got Chris with
the comment. I think Brittany and I had a pretty good talk about the past, and I asked her at some point to do a board session. You can go offline, you can go somewhere at the bar out here. But
speaking my language.
But I think the question is, a lot of this stuff we need to kind of get. I need lessons on and go again and sit and think about it and figure out what the next 5 years look like. And maybe there's a lot that can be learned from everybody that couldn't be. to figure out how, what language you're using, what report you're working in. So I said that we should do that in the December, January timeframe. Mm-hmm. And I'm volunteering to post it if somebody wants to.
That was great. Yeah, what I would like to do is do kind of a detailed where it's not in a board meeting so that we can focus on it and aren't worried about other business and can spend the time we need on it, but about, you know, public school funding, charter school funding, how they differ, where the funding is really coming from, what drives it, all of that. And I'd like to do it via Zoom in December. Or at a bar, like
relaxed, I guess.
Yeah, and then to expound upon that, in January, we've talked about moving the board meetings a week out. So Michelle knows the days that the reports come out, and we'll know the board meetings. So we will build a schedule within those 2 weeks to meet with Michelle as a group, Chris and I, Michelle, whoever else. And then we will schedule ourselves enough time to get reports out to the board, you know, a week in advance.
And what we want to do is try to anticipate the questions that everybody has and work into a format that when Brittany gives a report, everybody can say, I've answered the question that I was asking. So you come having read the report saying, hey, is there anything else that needs to be addressed? But we're going to assume that everybody's read it and it's clear and we can deal with the issue, the challenge that we have rather than kind of the language of the nomenclature that we're trying to figure out.
I'm confused about, I guess, equipment is when we have a proposed budget that we do for the new school year, then we keep changing the budget and we do it with the revised budget whenever, and you lose track of it. And from the original budget, why have we gone off track in order to do another?
I have
that. Moving it back to the
Hold on. Before, let me see it, because I had the same question. But I think the question is the comments have to address, like, here's what the delta has been, and here's why it's changing. So to me, the commentary should be, you know, this went back 30,000 or 50,000, and here's why. So we should be answering your question in that response, rather than having you have to point out, wait a second, you know, what's the commentary?
So what you're saying, Joe, is you want it to be like, okay, so the state appropriations for 10.3 million, our end of year outlook is showing them to be 11.1, and this is why there's a difference of $800,000.
And why did it?
I think we kind of answer that, but it might get all mixed up. And
it's a very common practice in education in Delaware that you have a preliminary budget in December or January, you will approve the final budget. That's the most unit count, all the other things go in, all the title programs and grants that come in. You have to wait until those come in to get exact amounts, which is why you have to go last and revise the budget.
And I think that's fine when you justify. Why are we doing that second budget?
Yeah.
Because we have more information.
We guess at it on the front end from last year, but what we have to do, it's really a budget versus actual.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's the fellow advantage. Explain the matters.
What I want to have happen is we're sitting here in June and we haven't discussed, well, we're $300,000, not in a good sense. You know, that we're losing money and drawing from our long-term reserves, not his reserves, the reserves up in Dover. That it seems to me we need to know that we're out of line with what we budgeted. And here's the reasons why. But at the end of the year, we need to say, well, you know, we need to button up a little bit in what we project for the next year to make sure we have a good read of how we're doing during the year, and when we're not doing so well in one category or another, you know what it is. But Brittany has told us this was budgeted for $70,000, but it's going to be $100,000. That's okay. We need to understand.
But I think these narrative summaries are very, very helpful to, you know, that Michelle and Brittany have been giving us, because it's going to tell us if we're in the green, if we're in the red. That's what they've been explaining. So I think this is a helpful way to not go back to where we were.
Yeah, and I think Michelle did that a little bit today where she said, mm-hmm. you know, I'm projecting student services to be $70,000 over budget
because
speech is coming in.
Right, and that was super helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Hi to everybody.
Bye. Have a good day. Yeah. Thanks, Michelle.
Bye-bye.
Any further discussion on financials? We're going to get a motion to move into executive session, and we will be returning after executive session.
Move.
Second?
Second.
Who was that?
Brittany.
Brittany. All in favor? Any opposition? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Is it clear?
A lot of arrows.
Yeah,
I don't mind.
Take great pride in it.
You put glitter in here?
Yeah.
I can see it. Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to find it.
Okay, we're back on. Okay, the board is back for public session, and the next. Item that we wanted to address is, I believe, go ahead, Andrew. We do? Okay. Everything's a vote. Yes. I have a motion to return to public regular session. It is, yes. Ed, second?
No.
Uday, all in favor? Any opposed? No. Any abstentions? No. We're back in public session. Thank you for reminding me. For you. And I believe we do have a motion to entertain, and I believe.
So I'd like to make a motion based off needs of Sussex Academy, specifically around the special ed area, is that we move forward with approving the school to hire, if needed, an instructional specialist and a speech pathologist, two different positions. And based off of needs and what they were, they submit.
Second.
Chris, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Any abstentions? Motion carries. Did you have a school? Okay, we're going to move on to the head school report.
All right. Hello, everybody. It's my privilege to give my final head of school report for the month of November. So on October 20th, we hosted a principal for a day in partnership with the Chamber. And Katie Wilkinson from Fulton Bank was our principal for a day. And typically, they have you follow a program, but I thought it was best that she just kind of actually shadow me and what I actually do as a charter school leader, just so that she could go back and just kind of talk about how charter schools look different and how we wear so many hats. It was a great experience, and it turned out that Ms. Wilkinson was actually, her daughter was one of my former students at the charter school in Wilmington, so it was neat to make that old connection. Also on the 20th, Dr. Davis, she does a lot of creative things with our students. And this year they were they're participating in the poetry out loud competition. So they had a school competition, and then they selected a representative that was judged, that the top person
that'll go on and compete at state. We hosted College Application Week during the month or the week of October 23rd to the 27th. During that week, students were encouraged to come to the Student Service Center where Dr. McBurry gave help to the students in completing college applications. We hosted our Choice Open House on the 26th, and that application window opened on November 6th, and I can't remember the exact numbers, but we're in the 600s for applications already, K through 12. Our elementary school held their annual Halloween costume parade on the 27th, and our high school's theater students presented Carrie the Musical that weekend as well. We hosted a group of leaders from Four Dimension Leaders to do a learning walk here at the secondary campus and the elementary school. And that's the group that Connie is participating in to get her principal certification. Also on November 1st, our SNAP Raise fundraiser kicked off. There's 14 days left, ending with November 28th as the annual Thanksgiving giving. And we're already at $4,000 into our 13K goal. On November 2nd, our Sports Boosters held a fundraiser event at Revelations in Georgetown to help raise money for their scholarships. It was a great event and they had a really nice turnout. On November 6th, our partnership with a school in France, we had 29 students come from France, and they're here until Friday, and they've been hosted with by our students, and they've been living the life of an American student. So it's been an interesting partnership, and I think our students really get a lot out of this experience. And then yesterday, we had a ribbon cutting ceremony with our partnership for Healthy Foods for Healthy Kids. Our elementary school garden was their 50th garden in the state and their first in Sussex County. So it's what expanded their partnership into Sussex County. And Connie and Mr. Ott have a really big role in bringing that partnership to the school. So yesterday we had a ribbon cutting and the students, all of the students, grades K through four, all had parts of going into planting the garden, building the garden. Yesterday they had their first harvest where they went and they picked things, and then they actually got to taste it. So it was a really nice event, and Mayor West from Georgetown came and joined us for the ribbon cutting. And then I just wanted to give a quick fall sports recap. We had a really successful season with all of our sports. We've hosted two conference championship games and three DIA state tournament games. Our very own Coach Dina was named Henlopen Conference Soccer Coach of the Year. And our Coach Haley Gooch from our volleyball team was named Henlopen Coach of the Year as well. We had 14 student athletes receive first team all conference, 10 student athletes received second team all conference, and 6 with honorable mentions. Our cross country team, our boys placed 3rd for the conference and the girls placed 1st overall in the conference. And our students competed last week on Saturday on the state championship, where our girls placed 5th overall for Division II. Our field hockey team completed their regular season with a winning record of 9-6 this fall. They made it to the state tournament. They defeated Concord 11-1 in the first round of the tournament, but then fell to Del Mar. Our volleyball team completed their regular season with a record of 10-5. They were named Henlopen Conference Southern Champion, and we hosted Smyrna, which we unfortunately lost in the first round, but it was a really good game, and all the sets were pretty close. And then our boys soccer team completed their season with a record of 13-2. They beat Sussex Central for the Henlopen Conference, the first time in school history. And then this past Saturday, they beat Tower Hill in the quarterfinals, and they are right now, as we speak, playing Indian River at Milford for the semifinals. And a win tonight, they will get their berth into the championship game on Saturday, which again would be a first for school history.
What's the score of the game tonight?
I'm supposed to be getting updates, so I'm assuming it's 0-0 because I haven't gotten an update yet.
Is Justina's son on the
team? Yeah, Justina's son is on the team. So, sure. So, yes, right. Right now. Yeah, if they win, the championship game will be at noon in Dover.
Did we play Indian River?
We played Indian River. We were down 2-0 at halftime. We came back to win the game 3-2.
Wow.
So, and we played them on a smaller field, non-turf. Tonight we're on a regulation size field and turf, so we should be at our advantage. So, and then, oh shoot, I have to text Lydia to come back.
Uh-oh. Did she like leave me?
No, she is at the pool. Okay. I'm wanting to do that. But Andy Davis is going to speak a little bit about some policies that the board needs to consider for insurance purposes and other reasons. So she's going to just spend a few minutes during this time just to talk to the board.
So it's come to my attention through my jobs from various sources that there are some school policy additions that we may need to make and some possible changes to our school policies. So I've highlighted here what has come to my attention. So we've changed insurance companies this year to save money. And we've switched to Selective, and they gave us a report of a couple of items that they'd like us to change to reduce our risks. So they are requesting that we, first of all, repeat our background checks every 5 years instead of just upon hiring. Currently, it's only done when the person is hired. That cost is covered by the employee or the volunteer. And I put that cost there. And then there's a cost involved with the Child Protective Registry, which is also incurred by the person if we decide we want to change that and do it every 5 years instead of just a home. The second request is that we have a bathroom and locker room policy and procedures. There, we don't have a specific policy that discusses that now. I think it's critical for us to have that, especially since the locker room is shared between the pool and the school. And so you have adults in the pool and kids in the school. We do have locks on those doors now, but it would be good to have that in a policy. The next is required by Senate Bill 291. And it's basically adult molestation policy. Some of the things are covered in some of our existing policies, so it would have to be reviewed to see what additional things we would need to put in there. But I do not have access to the policy, so I can't attest to specifically what's in there. I only have copies of old policies. And that is supposed to be implemented for this year, so that's something that we need to act on now.
Is that for insurance purposes? Yeah,
that's not for insurance purposes.
That's required by law.
The first two were insurance requests. This one's required by law.
Did they audit us on things like, how did they find that these types of things? Did they ask for it? Did they do a testing process?
From Selective, you mean the insurance company? I went through a grueling application. They asked for all kinds of things. And they specifically brought it up several times about the every 5 years instead of just upon hiring.
Do they ask them of other districts? Because that's well above what the state requires.
I explained that to them. I said, we do what the state requires. And that was their request, their recommendation.
It's smart, though. It really is smart to do that.
I know some other school districts do it. I don't know specifically.
They do, but there's also a diligence process where the head of school can get
called a rat bath.
Yeah. So if you've had a background check and you go out tonight and get in trouble,
then you'll get notified.
It gets notified. That's usually by the time the process is. Mm-hmm. That's why I say
the process is so that you're aware, so that you don't have to have the background check.
Right.
So I'm not sure they're aware of that.
So just to be clear, so if somebody volunteers, they have to be subject to background check?
Oh, yeah.
Anyone that volunteers.
You're supposed to have them come over the road.
And there's going to be a new piece of legislation coming down the pike. There's going to be a new law with regard to that. It's going to actually go into law a little bit more. It's because of child abuse and neglect issues.
We are currently going through fiscal monitoring, which is related to our federal programs, to making sure we're compliant in all areas. And two of the things that they are requesting from us are our board policy with regards to homelessness and foster care policy. And I don't believe we have one. And I have to include that with our first round of documents that we need to provide by, I think it's January 20th is the first group of information I have to send to you. So for all of these things, I have samples, templates we can use if you decide you want to, well, the one we have to, but if you decide that you want to move forward, there are guides that we can use to complete these policies. So my suggestion is that whatever additions and changes you decide that we want to do, that we get them done and then get them approved at the January meeting so that I will have what I need to put in our fiscal monitoring for the one in particular. I know you're setting up your policy committees tonight. I just have a suggestion that possibly an employee of the school be on the committee, someone who kind of knows how things are done in the school. For example, I looked at one of the old policies with regards to hiring, and in there it said there wasn't any mention of the child protective registry, which we do, but it said that when you're hired, you'll have a drug test. We've never done it. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure there's lots of other things in there about
volunteer.
So I think that what I would make a motion to do is to delegate all of these tasks to the governance committee. I can specifically assist with a lot of this because of my former work I did. And I'm on the governance committee, and I think that we have, well, maybe Sarah will invite you in to the governance committee since you're an employee of the school to help with this, or no?
Well, the thing that I would be responsible for making sure.
Oh, God, no. You're not going to be responsible for it. I'm just saying just to have you on the committee.
Yes, okay. Yes.
I have a few questions. One, is it normal, do other schools make their employees cover the cost of the background checks? Yeah, yes. That's a normal thing.
I had to do that.
Okay, so second thing, is there like a deadline? I see that this is supposed to be the 23-24 school year, but has the insurance like given a deadline, and has the federal?
Well, they want me to respond to them and let them know where we are in the process. So if we decide to do it or not do it, I just need to tell them what we're doing and give them an update.
Are they declining coverage? If we
no, we have a policy with them now. That doesn't mean that they'll then continue to give us a policy. And we went with them because it's saving us $20,000.
I can get a policy for Senate Bill 291 probably within a week. And I could also do the homelessness policy, which is, it's my understanding that's the McKinney-Vento.
It's related to that. I have some samples and that they've included. Want me to email them to you?
Yeah, I'm looking for that. But that's why I thought that we could just sign these tabs. I just figured it'd be best to assign these tasks to the governance committee.
Yes, this is the
governance. Yep. So,
and it'll be presented to the board next meeting.
It's just going to be tough with January to do it by January. But again, I can.
We have a child protection policy that we did with the Biden Foundation.
And that's good.
Years ago.
Yeah.
And they approved that that should fit all of that Senate Bill 291.
There may be some things that
there's some new things. Yeah. This was just passed this past summer.
Yeah, and that needs to be revised.
And
that
it's
was something that we started working on years ago. And so Chris Shell and I were working on stuff because we have some of the concerns about this.
And one other recommendation is the policies that are current are all on a shared drive.
Google Shared Drive
that you guys have access to, right? But none of the employees do. So they're expected to abide by these policies, but they can't see them.
Sounds like
we should open up to the sharing. That's a school operations thing. I mean, if y'all should share them out, but there's nothing restricted.
Did you give administrative access to you, I think? So
you, I think it was patches.
So whoever has it needs to open it up so we can put it on our employee shared drive.
But I don't.
From the school.
Yeah, that should come from the school. You put those in there, I think, for us to share those. But the school owns those policies and owns sharing those out.
So as we're voting on policies, are the new ones being put back into the Google Drive?
I've never touched the Google Drive.
That's the job of the school to actually take that information.
And that's how I used to handle things. But once they're approved, I have a piece of paper. I just don't have anything. I don't have a Word document or a Google document.
That's the school's responsibility to maintain the policy manual and keep up.
Yeah, I always did it for years, but the past 2-3 years, I don't seem to get those policies back once approved.
What do you do with the minutes after you're given the minutes and you see that those were approved?
Those are listed on a website. But I don't have them in a Word document or a Google document.
Yeah. So you just need to ask the governance committee to give that to you or seek that out if you don't see it.
Yeah, that's fine.
So whoever has administrative control of that particular document.
And we can probably
that
say Andrea, but then
to share.
We'll Andrea, so that, yeah.
But I sent you every single policy. There's a way more policies there than that were supposed to even be there. So I think we need to probably sit down and see what needs to be taken out of that.
Yep, we can redo it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there's some new ones that we'll make sure that they're.
The only reason for that drive was to not hand out
the paper
to everybody.
Doesn't mean they can
be shared. Yeah. That was the only reason I even asked for it as president, because I don't want to give people a document.
And it sounds like the teacher should have access.
Everybody should have access. Every other school district puts their policies on a website.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Once we get them in order.
I think right now we only have ones that are required.
Yes.
Let's say. Okay. So you're going to work on the homelessness foster care and this one. So I guess I just need to know what you guys have decided as far as what the insurance company has requested so that I can communicate that with them.
What do you mean?
We need all send the best of the modeling. We need to communicate to the staff that they will be charged for is that what you're asking us?
I need to know if we're going to add a locker room policy and procedure.
Yeah, the governance committee will cover that.
Okay, so I can let Selective know that that's being worked on.
Yep.
And then I need to know if we're going to change the policy to require background checks every 5 years, or if we're going to leave it as is.
Well, do we need to vote on that?
I can move it.
You're so good with that.
Now, can I ask a question really quickly without being pain? With the background checks, it says the background check and then the child protective registry check, and each have a separate fee.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If you do the background check, I just had one in September, so I can tell you exactly what I'm talking about here. The background check is FBI mm-hmm. and the state. You get a letter from the state police, and you get a letter from the FBI saying you're cleared.
Right.
So then why would you need to do the child protective as well? Because if you've done something child protective wise, wouldn't that be on your FBI list?
Substantiations in the civil side. You could be substantiated for child abuse and neglect on the civil side and be prohibited from working with children, but not even charged on the criminal side. Yep.
Okay.
How's that going to go down?
Save the staff some money.
Okay. How's that going to go down?
Yeah, I charging this one, I think this is an issue.
Okay.
And I think it's...
I thought it was an issue, but no one's...
That's crazy.
Yeah. If we already have a policy where someone is willing to get notified if I go out to my meetings to trouble.
No, I don't know if we have that in place yet.
Do you get the
Delta's report?
For any
if someone...
Because we did have someone through by the DUI that was notified.
It might already... It's called the wrap back. If you already have it in place, then... I don't know.
I've never heard it called that. I know.
What do you know it?
It's a Delta's process. It's the same thing that the state.
All your employees are notified if any employee is arrested.
Yeah. Okay. You can actually, there's a login to pull the information, but they'll actually email the information to you if you sign up for it. And most superintendents and folks wait to receive that information because it gets automatically emailed. But you can go into the system and search things too, just like your. It's
like the Delta's, it's the same network that like.
So I'm just going to check and see if we have that in place. Are you able to take a look? Okay.
And if that's the case, I have no problem telling them.
Right.
What's the point?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's RNP.
That's right.
RNP.
Like your RAP
and back.
Mm-hmm.
Continuous monitoring and employee's arrest and conviction.
Mm-hmm.
So your other suggestions, we're going to take the policy.
We're taking to governance committee.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Another action.
Thank you.
And I'll send you what I want.
Yeah, please. Thank
you. And then real quick, the last part of my report is I want to introduce to those of you who don't know, I suppose speaking with Lydia Schmier, our aquatics director. So she wanted to come and put her face, her name to a face, and say a few words.
Yes, sure. Thank you for having me. I basically wanted to let you know that we welcome any board members at any time to come to the pool to observe what's happening. It's a fluid process. We're trying to stay above water. We're doing pretty well considering some repairs we've had. But I'm officially requesting a board liaison, someone that can come to me with questions from the board that I can reach out to before a board meeting. Provide a report where we stand financially, maybe. I just know a lot of times there's questions within the community. The Mancos just recently left us. I know there were questions from you thinking it might be a hard hit on us, but there was already a plan in place for future programming because we knew that relationship was had run its course. So if someone could just, whatever you guys decide, could get back to me sometime who I could report to and kind of what the process is that you expect. But I'd be more than happy to provide that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lenny?
Thanks, Lydia.
Have a Thanksgiving, everyone.
I'm happy to be here. I have three swimmers and I already know Lydia.
Perfect. All right. Erin, you are the liaison to the pool.
Yeah, already here enough for swimming. So might as well chit chat with Lydia while I'm here.
Okay. Anything else? You're done. Okay. Joe,
what?
Foundation update? Anything?
Did I say something wrong?
Are you okay?
No update.
Okay.
It's still $160,000 roughly in the bank. It's issued and so used.
Okay.
I have several ideas, but that's not part of my foundation for it.
Okay. Then that goes, we're moving on to our committee reports. I don't think we have anything to discuss for executive nominating or succession that we already have discussed. Finance?
No. We don't see Met. After the last board meeting, I believe. Yeah. So I presented the October finances, we had the audit at that point, so I presented the audit to them as well. Really no questions or anything came out of that. And then Chris and I already told you our finance plan moving forward, so.
Thank you. Outreach?
The only thing that I have is that I did submit, I don't know if I was supposed to ask you guys first if I could or not, but I did submit, I don't know the rules. Jimmy Allen is playing at Starboard, and he's doing two shows for Kate. And I did request that he throw in a third show and do it for Sussex Academy. So I was hoping to hear back by tonight, so I could check my phone. But they said it was a definite maybe. So I wasn't told no.
That's good.
But Monty was supposed to be checking with his agent or his guy, I don't know, whatever guy he has. And he was talking about maybe doing an afternoon show and giving all the proceeds here to Sussex Academy.
That's great.
I think he's hoping to improve his
emotions. I've won tickets.
Is that something we?
You
bought tickets?
Well, sell those and then buy more I should be knowing sometime soon because it's like next week.
Okay.
So I'm gonna hear something. I'm not holding my breath, but I thought it was rich. That's all I
have. Thank you. Building and grounds.
Update on the roof is complete.
Good. Oh, Shantae's not with us. Shantae'd be happy.
She would be.
I don't know that all the roof leaks have fixed, but anything associated with that is good. There's still metal roof leaks and some other things in some other areas. And appreciate Jeff's help and working on those.
The metal roof's supposed to be there, it's going to be here on the
we talked about last meeting potential of a baseball field that is still ongoing. Talked with the organization group that has been doing that, gave some recommendations. They're following up, meeting with an engineer on site to get some more particulars, come up with a plan, and then present to the building grounds committee that then I can bring up to the board for review. Yeah. Right.
Go ahead, Jeff.
We're pursuing the consultant's report for a cipher for them to track at to the side of our area. No, that's the old location. When we put in the solar field, we sort of mixed that location for a field. But this is going to run east and west on this side of the campus. And it has to level the land because it slopes up as we go out this way. So they're going to say, I will bring back a sketch so where it will be on the campus and what we want to do with it if we have the funds to do it, bleachers and lights and all the bells and whistles. So we have baseball being supported by Milton Joseph, I think, and I will be the support for the and the foundation and the biggest support for the track. So most of those will not be fighting into the big capital campaign. If we both, that's great. I'm concerned about doing both at the same time, but we'll have to see how that works out.
Okay.
Now, one other thing that maybe you're coming to on the
The National Alliance
For public charter schools. They are changing right now. The National Alliance, a woman named Nina Reese, has done the job for the last 10 years. All the time I've been involved with the Sussex Academy. She was a great leader. She's retiring. And she wanted to come out to see our schools. I've talked to her several times about the schools. She wanted to come out, give a report to whoever wanted to listen to it, the board, the students, the faculty, for all of them. But what about the sort of, what's the state of charter schools right now? Is it gaining support from the Congress, and mainly a lobbying for the charter school? They do it every year. They try to get at least $440 million for funds. That's a small number, by the way, in Washington, D.C. It's a big number here, it's a small number there. And it's all for, it's called the charter school program. You see it in the newspaper when another they're voting. But annually, they get that much money to help schools who are expanding or just starting. But it's for capital campaigns, it's not for help with making the budget balance. So if we decide at one point or another to expand our elementary school, they would be a good source. We would probably get $1 million or something in that neighborhood to help us with that. So it's not anything immediate. She doesn't have the time any longer to come and visit this fall before she leaves. She's done in December. So we'll try to get the new person, whoever it is, here at the school in the springtime. But it's worth our time as board members to understand what help can we get from the National Alliance. Most of us would probably be naive, including me, being have a lot of contact with them. They can be very helpful.
Thanks,
well,
Joe.
And is there, just a question, is there any PDF, I just asked these two, of what we are as a program or a school that says like, hey, we started this year, we have this many kids, we graduated this many kids. Like not a one page, like a more of a, like, not a history of per se, but something that gives an outsider, like, oh wow, it's got
good web page.
I don't know if it's a web page, it's more like, I'm just,
is that the thing in the school profile?
Yeah, school profile.
Yeah, within the school profile. Everybody has a school profile.
But is it like, you know, we graduate this many kids a year, they go to this many 4-year colleges. Yes. Is it on the website?
Yes. It includes AP classes, you know, graduation rate, what colleges kids go to. It's the selling point where you can kind of sell stuff.
You know, that's also part of
the strength of
school. Is that right there?
Are you talking about the school profile or the strength profile?
I think it's under the school profile is what I'm thinking. Yes. All that. But if you, our school profile, there's a link on the website, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's linked on our website here.
Yeah.
Sherry just revamped it this year. It's really good.
The strength is still
I think she did present it.
She presented under the creators from our head of school.
I think a general.
That's my first general information.
Yes. Yes.
Just trying to make sure that you're getting the first sure. Mm-hmm.
Here's a link that you can get on the college.
Send that out to.
Yeah. It goes to colleges. All
right. We're going to move on to governance. We have provided the policy 801 to the board. I'm going to suggest that we table that. That's the head of school job description, but in light of the changes, we're going to table that because we're going to be revamping it a little bit more. We are also going to be meeting to go over what Andy just presented. So we haven't met since the last meeting, but we will be meeting before the next meeting. Lots of meetings. All right. School performance. I don't think we have anything first. Okay, no update on that one. Going into old business, the committee membership list. I've been doing some individual reach out on the different committees to just confirm who is on those committees. I don't have a finalized list yet. I apologize. I meant to get that out to everyone before today. We are going to probably be adding a couple committees over the next couple of weeks. So this is going to just be a sort of a running membership list. So I'll continue to update it and then provide it within the next couple of weeks. Joe already talked to us about the National Alliance visit. The new business is the policy 801 head of school. We're going to table that until the next meeting. And that is it. That concludes the agenda. Does anyone have any questions, comments, input?
Do you score this afternoon?
No, I just scored 10 minutes left right there.
Still first in hand.
Motion to adjourn. That would be Ed. Second. Aaron. All in favor?
Aye.
No objections and no abstentions. Thank you, everybody.